weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Seems to have traded them for Phil for a biscuit. Elena Martilla is a Russian artist who survived the siege of Leningrad in 1941 and documented the whole thing with drawings and engravings whilst being bombed, starved to death and freezing in the snow. Her work can be seen in a new exhibition at Darwin College, as Simon Burton reports.
Trudging around in the snow can be family fun if you're living in Cambridge, but during the Russian winter of 1941, the coldest on record up until then in Leningrad, snow and ice was the backdrop to suffering beyond all imagining during a Nazi siege which lasted 872 days and was arguably the most violent in all history, killing over a million people. It's a tale which is being retold through a powerful new exhibition of drawings and engravings opening today at Darwin College, on the life and work of Russian artist Elena Martilla, entitled Art and Endurance in the Siege of Leningrad. She's a woman who survived the siege against all odds and worked throughout documenting it under probably the most challenging and tragic circumstances ever faced by artists, poets and musicians. Senya Alfonina, who's an independent researcher in the art of the Second World War and president of the Cambridge Russian Speaking Society, curated the exhibition.
The idea of this exhibition is really to tell the story of the siege through the eyes of the survivor of the siege who endured it. And this girl who was 18, you know, she experienced the worst winter of 1941-42 and she did her drawings during the time.
Can you tell me a little bit about the artwork itself? It's engravings and drawings.
It's a very special method that she developed. It's engraving on cardboard. She claims that nobody else used it before. It took her 20 years to develop this method because she wanted to show how people were perceiving what was going on at the time, because there were no straight lines, everything was blurred, and it was patches of color, but not black and white. They were gray, blue. So she tried every method possible until she came to this one, engraving on cardboard, because it gives this blurriness. It's a mixture of graphic art and painting, you know, which really provides this superb effect.
Yeah. This was the only way of recording what happened, wasn't it?
I asked the artist about this several times. She felt at the time she didn't think about it. She felt, you know, she was doing a duty, and she was an artist, and the artist has to draw. So she was working, and the work that kept her alive as well.
Now, this exhibition combines three things, doesn't it? It combines film, talks and poetry, and the actual paintings themselves. Can you tell me a little bit about the talks and the film as well, and the poetry?
The talks, we have a series of talks over 2 months. So we have the top specialists in the field who are coming, you know, to Cambridge to tell us about the story of history and cultural life and music and Olga Bergholz, and also we will see documentaries. And there are people who will be presenting the films and answering questions about this. So we want to make it almost like a festival dedicated to the Siege of Leningrad, which never took place before, of this exhibit.
Now, you know her. What's she like as a person, as an artist? What's she like?
She's incredible. She's extremely strong-willed person, dedicated. You know, she lives on her own.
Yeah.
She never got married. You know, she had no children. She dedicated her life to her art. Basically, and I think only having a strong character like hers and dedication and integrity, she managed to survive the siege and to be 94, you know, this month.
The faces in the drawings depict a kind of peaceful resilience on their faces as people try to live in the middle of a catastrophe. In one striking image, a woman drags a cello through the snow with her children. Libby Howie, a private art consultant and curator, who is herself currently learning Russian in Cambridge, took us through some of the work and the dramatic history.
Insisting on the survival of your culture and of your emotional and literary and poetic and musical life actually did seem to help people survive. That holding on to that became very important to the city. So they spent money and they spent vital reserves on keeping theatres open, on keeping music going, on keeping radio broadcasts of poetry going. And everybody clung on to that.
What kind of experiences were these people going through?
It very rapidly became worse in the city because there was already some rationing at the outbreak of the war and when the Germans came round the city. There was already rationing, but it was at an acceptable level. It was like our rationing in the war. But because on the first day of the bombardment, the Germans hit the big food store on the outskirts of Leningrad, we lost at one blow all the real reserves that kept the city going. So they went right down to very, very poor rations indeed. So people are, they're beyond hungry, they're ill with starvation. Their sight becomes blurred, they become intensely weak, thought becomes difficult, concentration impossible, memory very difficult. People didn't just lie down in bed and die of hunger. They went out in the street and they fell down like flies. They went to their work and dropped dead. There were people dying everywhere. And to bear that sight every day as a young girl, not only to bear it, but to draw it, was what Eleanor Martella did.
Now, where on earth did she get her materials from? Because it must have been very difficult to find anything to draw with or to draw on.
That was the key that was provided by the Serov Art School, because one art teacher, one of the small art schools in Leningrad, kept going throughout the siege. And the students would come to him every day, huge distances, and he insisted that they continue to work and provided them with materials. One of the images you'll see is actually her engraving of the art school where she worked. You can see the boarded-in windows, the little stove that kept them all warm. What you can also see is what they haven't burnt, which is their easels.
This exhibition also incorporates things like poetry. So that was another very important element. Who were the poets involved?
One of the most important is Olga Bergholz, and there is a beautiful portrait of her in this exhibition. A portrait not of her as she was. If you look at the photographs in the Russian Museum, God, she was the most beautiful Russian girl you can imagine. The woman you'll see here is unspeakably thin and haggard, her whole face drained. But every day, without heating, she goes to the radio station and she broadcast her poetry, other writers' poetry, news from the front. They were almost like Churchill's speeches. People used them to raise their spirits. But nothing sort of jingoistic or propagandistic. It's very remarkable that poetry was what people wanted.
Now, there's an absolutely wonderful image here of a woman dragging a cello through the snow. Can you tell me about that painting?
I find that so moving because at first you think, oh, she must be dragging goods or food or something she needs desperately. But no, it's a cello. She's going what we see her going towards a tram, but the tram is useless. You can see it's covered in snow, it's frozen in. There's no more power for the tram line. She's going to walk. And what she's doing is going to a concert, and she's going to play. And going on playing live music was very important in the siege. People kept small theatres going, and even with great difficulty, when Shostakovich finished his Seventh Symphony outside Leningrad, he was airlifted out, but when they decided to broadcast it from Leningrad, they flew the score in by night. They assembled as many of the musicians who could still stand to play. Many were dead. They got musicians from the front, back from the army. And the great conductor, Eliasberg, got an orchestra together, rehearsed it, gave them extra rations to keep them going through the rehearsals. And then they broadcast the Seventh live from the besieged city.
The exhibition, which opened with a talk by historical consultant John Barber, features film footage past and present, helping you view the siege through the eyes of Leningraders themselves. It runs on Fridays between 1 and 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 2 till 6 p.m. at Darwin Old Library until the 17th of March, and features a series of talks detailed on the website artandendurance.org.
And that was Simon Burton reporting. 5:42.